phone plugged in?
No, you can have it if you want. I need to take it home tonight.
Right, okay. Rah, 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 rah. 1 2 1 2 1 2 I've got the wrong one on. There we go. 1 2 1 2 1 2 Gives you a level.
1 2 1 2 1 2 1 2 1 2 1 2 Can't count to three.
Right. Okay. So we'll just go into it like we normally do. I need to. How are you, Mike? You're right.
Yes, I'm good. I'm good.
I need to, before we start the podcast proper, for week two of our diary of the coronavirus crisis.
Yes.
A personal tribute to somebody I know that has died from coronavirus.
Oh.
Learned it this morning, the day of this recording. It was 9:30 this morning. Somebody texted me on Facebook, private messenger, and said, do you remember when you worked at the nightclub in question?
Yep.
Right. In the Birmingham area, when I used to be a nightclub DJ about 7 or 8 years ago, the doorman there, he was 34.
Wow.
And he had heart problems. Not major heart problems, just...
Like a murmur.
Major.
Yeah.
No need for operations or anything like that. Just all he had to do in life was keep his weight down and stay active, you know, but not too active, yeah? Just go steady. And he lived a normal, fun life. He was a doorman. So he went to the gym, he lifted a few weights and did a bit of cardio, but he didn't go mad, just kept himself in trim. Coronavirus finished him off.
It's strange you say that, mate, because we found out yesterday one of my other half's friends who he works with, her mum had a stroke a couple of weeks ago. Fit and healthy up until that point, and she died last night.
So it's when you hear that.
Yeah, it gets a bit more real, doesn't it?
It's a bit close to home, that, isn't it?
Well, I think the thing is, we can all be forgiven for... We see all this stuff on the television in different countries and in the UK, and we're like, yeah, it's pretty rough. But then we've got, and I have to say this, we've got idiots that are still going out and going round to the mates, going down to the park and having a kickabout, all this. Why? Why are we so stupid? And it really... pushes my buttons. Do you know what I mean? It
Careful.
Seriously pushes my buttons, because if, and I've said this to you before, Darren, if our boss has said to us, right, we're taking all your holidays off you and bank holidays are cancelled, you're working all the way round, we'd go absolutely crazy.
Mm.
So now the government are saying to us, stay at home, sit on your bums, watch a load of TV, Netflix, go into the garden, spend time with your kids.
Yeah.
Once a day, pop yourself out for a walk, get some fresh air, and just chill. Oh, can't do that. I just don't get it.
Yeah.
It's just mad. But going back to where we were, I think you're right. When you see things on TV, it's kind of like it's on TV. It's like a film. It's like a documentary. When you've got that personal thing where somebody you know, this has now affected, it's real.
Yeah. So, personally for me, rest in peace, brother. Sean, his name was. And if you want to do the same for your friend.
I think for me, it's just a dedication to anybody.
Yeah.
Who's in a position where they've lost somebody because of coronavirus. And ultimately, this isn't the end, is it? We've still got more to go. So, I suppose my message is rest in peace to Mel's mum and... Obviously, we send our best wishes to Mel and everybody else. But if you are in the middle of losing somebody, you have lost somebody, then stay strong.
Yeah, we're with you. Mm. Where do we go from there then on this podcast? So week one has just been completed anyway, thereabouts.
We've made it.
We are in the midst now of week two of lockdown. How was week one for you, Michael?
Well... Can I be honest and say it didn't really affect me? and I know that sounds daft, but I've been at work every day, 6 days a week, which I do normally. I think the only thing that's been different for me is I've driven into work, I've come into the studio, I've prepared and done my show, I've gone home, and I've made dinner.
Yeah.
The big bit that's getting me, mate, is I can't go to the gym before or
after. I was just going to bring that up. He's crippling me. So, I want you to ask me the same question. How has week one been?
How has week one for you?
Again, I have... It doesn't affect me.
No.
Right, because I my routine used to be, which I think we talked about in the last podcast anyway, I get up in the morning. This is my old routine. Right?
You do get up in the morning.
get up in the morning, go straight to the gym, and then I come to work to do the show.
Yep.
Right? So that is, and then I go home again and go to bed. I'm effectively doing that now.
Just a little bit.
But I'm not going to the gym.
Turn around.
But that bit of not going to the gym is proper. Now we're into week two, playing on my mind.
Yeah.
Really affecting my, you know.
Do you find you're spending more time in the mirror?
No. I'm spending more time in the fridge. Listen. It's a big thing, right? Because when I can't go to the gym or I don't go to the gym, that's when my diet falls off the wagon because I put my diet and my training as a 50-50. Now, you're going to tell me from your personal trainer and your fitness history that the diet is more important than the gym.
Yep.
I get that. I understand that. Yep. But for me, if I go to the gym, that's half the day by the time I've... had my breakfast and then got to work. So therefore,
and do you find you naturally eat better because you're at the gym?
Yeah.
Because psychologically, you're thinking to yourself,
"Well, I've done that.
I've done all this, so I can't eat that."
It's just the fact that the routine is there.
Yeah.
Right. But now I'm finding myself, you know, I've just done because I'm covering the breakfast show during the coronavirus at the radio station that we work on. So I wait for you to turn up at around 11 o'clock. So therefore, I have an hour and a half where I'm sitting waiting. So I go to the shop to buy non-essentials, which I'm breaking the law.
Yep. Well, the thing you is, know? Though, what is a non-essential?
Chocolate crisps.
But is it? Because surely, as part of mental health and lockdown and all this, you need to have some form of luxury.
But what I'm doing now... Because I used to be on the breakfast show many years ago at this radio station. I used to be on breakfast. So what I'm doing now is exactly what I did 5-6 years ago. And that was the point where I got up to 20-odd stone.
Right.
Right? And I cannot get my mind straight to get me back into that kind of, that's your healthy breakfast, do your show, that's your healthy dinner, then your healthy tea, then you go to bed. Because... that one element of the gym, of 2 hours in the gym, watching my old box sets that I'm streaming from the cloud, isn't there, right? Am I making any sense to you at all?
Well, yeah, because the thing is, it's this whole lockdown scenario has literally thrown everybody out. So you've got people who are isolating because they're not very well, isolating because they're above the age criteria.
Or they've got health issues.
Health issues. Yeah. You've got people who are working from home, and then you've got key workers like ourselves who are... going into work, and it is risky. I mean, I called into a local supermarket last night at 20 to 8, 20 minutes before it closed, did a full shop, shelves are full, absolutely everything from toilet rolls to health and hygiene products, food, vegetable, the works. Did a full shop last night in 20 minutes. In, out, gone. But I bought healthy stuff because what I've started doing, the first week of lockdown, it was kind of like, if I'd said to you, What will Mike eat for his dinner today? What type of things would you expect me to have had before all of this? Soups, protein shakes, protein bars, all that type. At the moment, all I think about, cake. I just want cake.
Yeah. And it's not helping because it feels like I don't want this to happen again, the pandemic thing again.
Yep.
Because it's horrible. And we're losing a lot of people, and it's not good. It's not nice. It's not good for the economy. It's not good for everything around the world, right? But because it's a novelty thing and it all feels a bit weird, I've also got that in my mind, like a holiday's a novelty. So if I go on holiday, I'll go and have 5 ice creams a day.
Yep.
I'll go and have umpteen ice cold drinks. I'll have me coop breakfast on me sun lounge around the pool.
Yeah,
it's a novelty.
Yep.
So I'm thinking... this is a novelty. It'll be over soon. So I'm going to go and have my crisp and chocolate.
And I think,
you know,
I think that's what people in the world are doing at the moment. I think they've got this thing in the head where I haven't got to go to work and I'm being paid. I'll go down the local park.
Yeah.
Or I'll pop round and see my mate. I mean, there's a footballer that's just been fined. Absolutely stupid. Stupid idea. His mate texted him and he went round, for a few beers on Saturday night.
But
and the worst thing is, that's such a natural thing to do.
Yeah. Me and you nearly got into trouble.
Yeah, well, right. You nearly got us into trouble.
Yeah, I did, yeah. Let me explain to you on this podcast what happened. So we're in week two. Your other half, Danny, is going to be moving away with his job because he works for the NHS.
That's correct.
So he's being deployed.
Yep.
You're going to be on your own now for however how long. Stop cheering, silently cheering. But you're going to be on your own for ever how long.
Who knows, yeah.
Right. So I said to my other half, Anne-Marie, I said, I want Michael to come over for tea because he's going to be on his own. I can't do that. Can't come.
And that, I think this is generally the whole problem, is people are trying to do the most innocent, the most normal and the most simple things, going and having a
tea with your mate.
With friends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Go and have your dinner at your mate's ass.
Yeah.
Go down to a local park and have a kickabout.
Yeah.
Take the kids to the park and play on the swings. I mean, the swings in the park where I live is now all red taped off.
Yeah, mine is. And that's another thing on week two of the lockdown I can tell you about.
Yep.
And when it's not there, why are we missing it? Because this is a true story, right? So myself and our daughter, Millie, go around the lake, the local lake where we live. So when we get round to the park bit, I dread that bit because she goes, swings, swings. And you go, look, you haven't got time. You haven't got time. Sorry, you haven't got time. And then we go on, reluctantly we go on, and they play on it and all that kind of stuff. And it throws my day out of kilter anyway, because I've spent 20 minutes and she's kicking off and fighting because I'm dragging her off.
Yep.
As we walk past now, we have all the time in the world. The weather's picking up. It's a bit nicer. She wants to go on the swings. You can't go on because it's virus dangerous.
Yep.
Yeah. But now I want the park to be open. We have the time to go on. Go on and play. It will help me out. But it's not open.
It's the same as anything. You don't miss something
till it's not there.
Until you can't have it. It's like, what's the old saying? You don't realise what you've got until it's gone.
Yeah.
Simple things of going to the local chip shop.
Yeah.
Going to. I mean, you can get, all right, we can get deliveries and different things. That's fine. But having that walk down to the chip shop, or on a Friday night or a Sunday, me and my other half, we will normally pop to the local pub on a Sunday for Sunday lunch, a couple of pints, and go home.
But you don't even think about it, do you? You just
don't even think about it. The only thing we think about is, am I going to have enough money?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we afford it this week? Because, do you know what I mean? It's not the cheapest place to go, but for 2-3 course dinners, because if you're going to do it, you might as well do it properly.
Yeah.
There's lots of vegetables, don't judge me. And then a few pints. It's not cheap. But it's like now, I go for a walk in an evening when I get back, because Danny will be at work till 9, 10, 11, midnight, depending whenever he finishes. But I'll go for a walk when I get in from doing my show in the afternoon. And I walk around past the pub, and it's so weird that there's no lights on.
Yeah.
There's nobody in the car park. And I think it's, you don't realise what you've got until you can't have it. And it's like, I would imagine it's similar to like a prison sentence or something. That's why people go there and lose all the novelties and the nice things that they look forward to. And then you come out of it and you appreciate what you've got. And I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a lot of theories about this whole coronavirus thing, which I am not going to go into, because that could open up a whole can of worms.
Shall we do a fun podcast of conspiracy theories of what is out there?
I think we should. Yeah, I think we should.
But before we get on to that, and before we do that particular episode, we don't believe in any of that, or we're not saying... hang on, stop nodding your head. It's just fake news that's out there, and it's all rumours and stuff.
It's just different stories, isn't it, and things that obviously working in media...
Yeah,
we read, watch, hear so many different theories. I think when you start putting them all together, make a cracking set of books. Absolutely awesome.
Yeah, the Chronicles of Coronavirus.
Can you imagine? Yeah. It's crazy though, because as I say, without going too deep into it, there's a film from 2018, I think, that talks about these viruses and different things, and I can't even remember what the title of the programme, the series
was. Was it Outbreak or something?
No, it's something, Tyrus or something.
I've been looking, you told me about this the other day.
It talks about SARS and, is it MERS?
I've been looking for this.
And different things. And it mentions a virus called Corona in it, and it's from 2 years ago.
Yeah. know. Anyway, let's not get into that. We've just gone off on a tangent now about pandemic films.
Yes.
That's
yes,
another episode for another time. And then you've got conspiracy theory as well, which is another podcast for
another time. Have you heard? That's what I wanted to say on this one. So we're into week two of lockdown.
Yes.
Have you heard what Donald Trump has said today?
No. Today?
Yep. Exclusively today.
Today, the day of this recording. Yep. Go on then.
He has warned all Americans that the next 2 weeks are the biggest 2 weeks of the battle that they will come across. It's time to batten down the hatches, stay safe and stay strong. This next 2 weeks is the big 2 weeks. Because obviously America's been hit quite hard, haven't they? And they're expecting almost 250,000 people to lose their lives in this 2 weeks.
I want to bring up the American situation, right? Because I think I heard it yesterday on one of the rolling news channels that, you know, in history, you've got things that mark out history, like a catastrophic event in history, whether it be a natural disaster or a terrorist attack. You know where I'm going with this, don't you?
9/11.
They lost thousands of people on that, right? And it shook the world, and it shook... it changed the way that terrorism was looked at and became number one enemy kind of thing, right? Right now, or yesterday, they passed that number of how many people died at 9/11.
Yep.
They've passed that number. So one virus has killed more people than 9/11.
Yeah.
Just in America alone.
It's crazy. I would be curious to know how this compares to things like the plague and a war. Do you know what I mean? If you're talking about certain aspects like 9/11, world wars, and how is this compared to that?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Just on a statistics point of view and seeing how it works. But I heard that yesterday. It's just...
Does it worry you that we keep getting told from the government that this is just a flu? If you get it and you're young enough and you've got no other problems, it'll be just like having a, you know, at worst, a bad flu, and it'll floor you for a couple of weeks.
It didn't worry me.
Right, I've not finished yet. Right.
Until
you saw last week, the end of week one of lockdown, a 21-year-old girl from somewhere. Forgive me for not knowing where she's from.
London. I think she was London-based.
21-year-old girl, slim, no underlying health issues. She died from coronavirus. Literally 24 hours ago, a 13-year-old boy died of coronavirus. Health workers who are fit and healthy and I haven't got any other underlying problems are dying from coronavirus.
Was there a 19-year-old yesterday as well?
A 19-year-old chef from London as well. With no problems.
No problems at all.
So either this thing is mutating and they're not really telling us about it, and it's because viruses mutate, don't they? And they get...
Well, it's the same as anything. They develop and grow until they're stopped.
Yeah.
And I think for me, I think you bang on. I wasn't worried about this until probably about 72 hours ago.
Yeah.
And without sounding, I don't sound naive or arrogant or ignorant towards any of it, I keep myself clean. My other half works for the NHS, so we're getting regular updates of what we can do to help ourselves. I like to think that I'm following the government's advice. When I'm not coming to work, I'm at home. I've downloaded Football Manager. I've hammered 4 years on, I think it's 2023 on there. But I'm just doing what I've been asked to do. So I wasn't worried because I was thinking, well, I've got no underlying health conditions. But I sat there and thought, I had a knee op, didn't I, in December?
Yeah.
And I was sat there thinking, does that put me at risk? Because I've had an operation where I've been opened up. Yeah. I'm told it doesn't because it wasn't a transplant-based or like a major organ. I'm thinking, that's my knee. That's major to me.
Yeah.
So I was a bit like, how does it affect me? But I wasn't worried until, because you're hearing underlying health conditions and all these, if you've been to a certain country and all that. Now, it's killing people who are fit and healthy, young.
Yeah, active. All the people that it said it wouldn't kill.
Yeah.
You know?
I genuinely believe, and this is the only way I'm going with this, they know more than they are telling us, and they know how to treat it. They're just being very cautious because they want to get it right before they release it.
So you think they've got a vaccine then, don't you?
Yep.
Do you?
Yep.
What makes you say that?
I think we have got some of the most amazing minds in the world.
Yeah, that's true.
In this
yeah,
country, in America, in Asia. I think the problem we have is that we are arrogant and ignorant as a nation. And I mean that on the front of people still going and living their lives. I mean, I went to a local shop yesterday, Darren.
Yeah.
You were there. How old was that woman pottering around there?
Right next to you.
Right next to me. She'd got to be...
70s?
70s, 80s.
Yeah.
And I was just like...
I saw your
I just
face.
Stood there in amazement. And I'm just thinking...
I'm giving you the respect to move out of the way. Give me the same respect to go around me. Or
I'm surprised she didn't hold my hand. She was that close.
She pushed out of the way for the crisps,
but
I think.
What I was getting at with the... Yeah, she was. I think she was after a magazine.
Right.
But I just think that they know a lot more because they're talking about this peak that's going to come at Easter time or sometime over the next 2 weeks. And then we're going to start coming out. Donald Trump said today that the next 2 weeks are going to be catastrophic. And then there'll be light at the end of the tunnel. How can he judge that if he doesn't know something?
Yeah, I get that. And also our government as well, yesterday on the press conference. Now, I've been saying on the radio, I've been quoting the government going, green shoots, everything's plateauing.
Yep.
It's showing the early signs of it slowing. And then literally a few hours after, the biggest number of deaths in this country from coronavirus.
Yeah.
Well, hang on. Please tell us the truth.
Well, that's it, because they seem to, in the morning, they tell one story.
Yeah.
In the afternoon, the world is ending. This is the apocalypse.
Yes.
And it's just like, hang on a minute. When we do our radio shows, right, you do a show in the morning, and you talk about loads of different things that's happening in the local community.
Yeah.
If I then come in the afternoon...
All that story's changed.
Changed the whole story, and it's all fun and laughter, and it's just a party for 5 hours.
Yeah.
People are going to start thinking, do they know what they're doing?
Yeah.
And that is my question to the government.
Yeah.
Do you actually know what you're doing? Because half of you are saying this, the other half say something completely different at the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
It's like, can we just have continuity of this is where we are? I'd rather them say we are in a mess and it ain't getting better.
And this is another fact on this, another observation, I should say. I'll reword that. Another observation that Boris Johnson has come down with COVID-19.
Yep.
And a number of his aides high up in the government have come down with it. So they are self-isolating. They're doing everything they tell us to do.
Yep.
And they're doing it right. And he's been chairing the COBRA meetings every day via video link, but he's not been seen on screen since he told us he'd got coronavirus. Surely he could do it via video screen in his self-isolated little house or his little room.
You would think so.
So why are you hiding?
Yeah. If he can do a video link COBRA meeting, why can he not address the nation via video link? You always see it in the films.
Yeah,
when you see the American president sat there at his table.
Yeah.
To the people of America.
Yeah.
Why can Boris not do that? Give us that little.
He's
bit
already
of
doing it with
that he can do
apparently
it.
With the other COBRA meetings he's having, his other meetings. You've seen stills on rolling news channels of him in the corner and then all of his aides in other parts of wherever they are in self isolation. So they're still having the meetings, but he's not talking to me and you via video link.
No, and I think he should. I think he should be talking directly to us because at this, I think he's been amazing. I have to be honest.
Yeah,
I'm not politically.
I'm impressed
clever.
With Boris.
I'm not Tory-based or anything like that, but I think he's been amazing. I'd just like to see now that little bit of, in sports terms, man management. This is where he talks directly to me as an individual through the TV. He's not going to say, Mike, well done, mate, blah, blah, blah. But you know what I mean? If he talks directly through video link to the nation to let us know, I've got it, I'm not very well, I feel a bit rough.
Yeah. So just over a week ago, when he put us into lockdown, I was watching him through the screen and he was talking to me.
Yep.
Or he was talking to you. He was talking to the nation, but he made it very personal. And I bought into that and I went, good on you, Boris. Yep. Don't worry. I'll abide by all of that because I felt like he was talking to me. And then it's just, where is he? You know?
And that's the thing. To me, what I want to know, right, I think we need to get people, you know, people that have had coronavirus and have come through it. Where are they on the telly?
Yeah,
where are they on the radios?
Yeah.
Why have we not got these people that have been through it so they can say to Darren, this is how I felt, this is how I knew I'd got my symptoms, This is what I had to do. This is how I felt. This is how I am now.
Yeah.
Because then everything's doom and gloom. Oh, you could die. You've got to wash your hands. I'm not being funny. If it takes a virus to tell people to clean your hands after you've been to the toilet, there is a bigger issue. But
yeah.
I just think it would be informative and quite useful for somebody who's had coronavirus to tell us how they knew they'd got it, what it was like having it, and how they came through it.
Yeah.
I think that would make so much more, because what that would then do is say to people, if you do feel a bit rough this way, this is what I went through, but this is what I did to get through it.
I get you.
Focus on the positive.
So as we're into week two, I know we're having a few rants on this one, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Yes. How do you feel about everything now? You know, I'm feeling. What is cabin fever? How does cabin fever feel like? So I've heard the term before.
My understanding of cabin fever is, so you know, like when you go on a plane and you are enclosed in a small space,
you get a bit itchy and a bit fidgety.
You get a bit fidgety. You get a bit restless. You get a bit
ratty.
Agitated, ratty, yeah. Right. I'm like that 24/7, so I must be Mike cabin fever, Wayne. but yeah, I think that's basically the gist of it. It's people are in a position where they have been stuck in the house now for...
Just
some people
week.
Have been in for a bit longer as well.
Yeah, they have,
Do you know what I mean? Some of these people who have had transplants or are in that age bracket, health issues, they've got another 10 weeks of this to go.
Yes, they have, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Now... Can somebody in that catchment go and sit in their garden? Obviously not on a day like today because the weather's not
the best.
But
yeah.
When the summer comes, because we potentially could still be going through this in the summer,
yeah.
Can they go and sit in the garden and have a gin? Have a coffee?
Have a barbie?
Barbecue?
Yeah. I don't know. If you live on your own and you've got a garden, I don't think it's much fun cleaning the barbecue, cooking for yourself, then cleaning it all up afterwards all on your own.
I don't know, I might try it if Danny goes working away.
So, I mean, for me, now we're at the end of week one and we are now into week two, is I am really frustrated that I can't be creative enough or fit enough to keep my gym activity up, but not in the gym. Because this is my problem. I think we talked about this on episode one, and I'll say it again. In order for me to be in a calorie deficit, I'm back round to this again now,
yep.
I need to be... burning 1,000 calories there or thereabouts. Yeah, so therefore, I'm consuming about 1,400 calories a day, normally.
Yep.
And if I burn 1,000 calories off, I'm in a calorie deficit. I'm happy with that. I can maintain that and it's great. But according to my Fitbit and everything else I keep looking at, I'm only burning 100 calories off a
Your
day.
Your Fitbit's broke, right? I'm telling
but
you.
But I'm still going out for, I mean, I'm still doing 7,000, 8,000 steps a day because I go out to do my walk up two hills. Which is right next to my house. So this is my main problem, is my weight gain that is going to result in everything being upside down.
To let you into a secret,
yeah,
I don't think the boost in the Twix that's on the desk is helping either. Because to be fair, I saw that and thought, cake.
But this is because I can't train. And I can't do that. So
this
so
is
I
the
thought,
psychology
I'm not
of fitness.
I'm not going to eat really, really healthy to sit on my bum and do nothing. I'd rather, if I'm going to sit on my bum, I'm going to enjoy some snacks, watch a load of telly,
yep,
and go to bed really early, and all that kind of stuff. So that it comes for me. It comes hand in hand. If I go to the gym, then I'm going to the gym, and my routine and my day is already set. Oh. Making excuses, aren't I?
The thing is, we will always find excuses. It's, I mean, week one, I was coming in, doing this show, and I'd have my nibbles, not chocolate-based, I mean, I was quite good with that healthy biscuits, rice crackers and different things, and drinks and fluids and stuff. This week, complete change. I'm on air for 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in between the times when I speak... I've probably got 3 songs on, which is 9 minutes.
Yeah.
If I've got 4 sets of 9 minutes, that's 36 minutes where I could be sat on my bum eating chocolate.
Yeah.
What I'm doing now is that's 36 minutes where I train in the studio.
You're doing exercise.
I'm exercising.
When you're not talking.
On air.
All right.
When I'm in the studio, between 2 and 7, I train. How on earth do you pull a calf muscle in a studio?
Because you don't know what you're doing.
You can see I've got two weights.
You got your two weights there, yeah.
Two weights on there. So yesterday I'm laid on the floor doing my chest press.
Outside broadcast weights.
Yep.
Yeah.
Chest press. I can do press ups. I can do tricep dips. I can do squats. Yesterday I did just short of 12,000 steps.
Yeah.
I'd done 2,400 when I got to work.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do is I have a little fitness thing that goes off during the show, but what I'm doing during the songs, I'll have a song where I'll literally stand at the side while the song's playing. I've done my prep for my next links and everything else, and I'm jogging on the spot.
Yeah.
And then the chorus will kick in, and it's hopefully it's an upbeat chorus, and then I'll sprint on the spot. Then I go back to jogging. Then I'll miss a song, and then I repeat. So I'm using now imagination, and this is the key. My advice to anybody who is suffering in self-isolation, who's bored, cabin fever and everything else, best advice is let your imagination run wild.
It already has, because before we end episode 2, week 2 of coronavirus crisis lockdown, I've seen a lot of people do this as a joke. Today of the recording, the date of this recording is the 1st of April, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's before 12 o'clock. I'm looking at my phone waiting for Boris Johnson to go, gotcha, April Fools. And if he does that, I think there'll be a riot.
Yeah, I think I'd smash his face in. I would drive down to number 10.
Yeah. It's Europe's Brexit's idea of an April Fool's gag. Very elaborate, but there we are. Right, okay. I think we'll wrap up.
Let's do it.
So, episode 3 coming next week in week 3.
Yep. Stay safe. Stay at home.
Yeah. Thank you. Bye.